If you've had a part of the adult Sunday school, you know we've been talking about electronic media and some of the difficulties that can happen with that in today's world of electronic data. You know the seriousness that's there in many things, but especially if you have your identity stolen, because your information has been breached. You may know a friend or maybe yourself who's gone through this nightmare at some time. So maybe like me, you pay for a service to help protect that information, to get your name and financial records back and straightened out if you do have your information breached. Tonight we're going to talk about breaching, but not your information. What happens when your faith is breached? What happens when your faith is broken? The reason that we're looking at this tonight, and I've chosen to preach on this whole topic, is because I was reading in my own devotionals through 1 Chronicles. And as I was reading there, it talked about King Saul having his faith breached and the seriousness of it. And then the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, having their faith breached and the serious consequences of that. We'll be looking at that in a moment. We'll be defining it. We'll be seeing those two examples. We'll be seeing what it's like. But as I read that, I was thinking about myself. Does my faith ever get breached? And so I didn't come at this like I'd normally do, working through a book, but I started looking at other scriptures because I wanted to know, because every day in some way there's might be a breach of faith, but I know that I've had big times, periods of times where in my Christian life where I might say my faith has been broken, it's not steady, it's breached. And so I thought, if that happens to me, maybe at times you find that happening with yourself. The scriptures certainly talk about it. I think about it with myself, and I began to think about times that may have happened, not just in everyday sins, but I thought about a time where, as my daughter was getting older, my wife and I were wondering, would she ever get married? And if she didn't, who would take care of her? Could she do it herself? Was God enough? We wondered if we would ever have grandchildren. Would we have an extended family, because our family is very small? Sadly, I can't believe it's 17 years ago now, but when the year 2000 turned over from 1999, it was called Y2K. Many of you don't even have a clue what that is. But I did. And I thought something was going to happen. And I prepared. I over-prepared. Now, thankfully, even with all the over-preparations, there were lots of missionaries that were glad to receive those supplies and all the rest. But the truth is, when I went back and thought about it, there's nothing wrong with being prepared for some kind of emergencies for a couple days. I'm a Boy Scout, and I promised to be prepared, but I went way past that, thinking that I could, if God would do something, I could overrule his providence. And there's even been times when I've gone to surgery, and I'm glad to pray for all of you when you go into surgery. I have great faith for you. But when they were operating on me the night before, I had to really look at, what is it? What do I believe? is my faith strong? You may be going through circumstances in your own life right now where you wonder, what about my faith? So it's a good topic for all of us. It's a good topic so that we can come by and encourage others when their faith is breached and struggling. So let us stand together and look at God's Word. I'm only going to be reading a few verses, and then we'll follow Scripture, which is its own best interpreter, to find out what it is for this breach of faith. The first is in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 25. Excuse me, I'm not going to start there. I'm going to look at 1 Chronicles 10:13. Excuse me. And this is from an individual, and it's King Saul. 1 Chronicles 10:13. Now look at the consequences when we look at these things, because when we're talking about a breach of faith, it's something that's very serious. And we see here that it indeed happens to God's saints. So Saul died for his breach of faith. He broke faith with the Lord in that he did not keep the command of the Lord, and also consulted a medium seeking guidance. He did not seek guidance from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. So we can see that it happens with individuals. And if you'll look to chapter 9, in verse 1, we'll see the serious results to the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah. So all Israel was recorded in genealogies, and these are written in the book of the kings of Israel. And Judah was taken into exile in Babylon because of their breach of faith. Amen. You may be seated. Let me pray. Our Father in God, such few words talk about difficulty of a saint here and a whole group of your people, Southern Kingdom of Israel, having a breach of faith. And Father, if it was only long ago, far away, we would not have to worry. But you have recorded these examples of the saints in here for us, that we would be warned of a breach of faith and need to see if there is a remedy. So God, help us tonight to think about your word very personally, about our own, because that's exactly what faith is. It's an individual thing. Would you help us think of our own faith as you open your word and you come before us, even as we pray in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Well, what is a breach of faith? The word in Hebrew, I wouldn't expect you to know it, but it's ma'al. And it means to sin, to transgress, to commit a trespass. It means acting treacherously. And when you're acting treacherously, that means you're not faithful with someone or you're against them. And almost all the times in the Scripture when it's talking about a breach of faith, it's not just talking about a sin against a brother or sister in Christ, although it can be. It's talking about our relationship with God. We say we love Him. We might say we're a Christian, but the reality of the way we live, we're living in a breach of faith, not loyal to Him, not following after Him, claiming His name as a believer, but living like a person of the world. So as we come to look at this, we need to think about our own life with God, our own relationship with Him, our own faith that we proclaim, but does that faith have reality to it? Do I walk with God? Do you walk with God? Are you faithful to Him? Or is it just a few words? Well, the first that we come to, and we'll look at types of breach of faith before we look at these two examples. If you look at Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 15, let's look there together because it's talking about this first kind of breach of faith with God. We would know it and we would talk about it normally as a sin of omission. Because we're imperfect, because we're made of this flesh, there are times when we truly do forget, pass over what we should do, be so busy that we can't get it all done. It's just in the weakness of being of flesh, sins of omission. We're not purposing to sin and be unfaithful, but times we are. Now, sometimes we just use "I forgot" as a great excuse. It's not great with God, but it's great with us. "Oh, I just forgot." No, it's more often than not we didn't care. But here's the sin of omission in Leviticus 5 and 15. If anyone commits a breach of faith and sins unintentionally, if any of the holy things of the Lord, he shall bring to the Lord as his compensation a ram without blemish out of the flock, valued in silver shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary for a guilt offering. So even if we don't purpose to sin unintentionally, we're still guilty, but God has provided a sacrifice for that. But if we go on here, we'll notice what we call that intentional breach, or theologically what you've heard and remember, it's called a sin of commission. You commit it. You're thinking about it. You purpose to do it. You choose to do it. The next chapter, Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 2. If anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in a matter of deposit or security, or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor. So if you're going to rob your neighbor, you do it on purpose. You choose to commit it. It's not just that, his wallet ended up on my kitchen table. It didn't have legs. It can't walk over there. If it's over there, it's because you took it. So that's a sin of commission. And God says that we can breach faith intentionally and have unintentional breaches of faith. Now, the first breach of faith that we're going to look at this evening is the one found, we'll look just as we keep going through Chronicles, in 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 1. And it's the breach of faith that we've already seen, but it's that breach of faith of the whole group of people, because they didn't, and Lord willing, next week we'll spend time talking about this, or soon, another time. What do you do when someone commits a breach of faith? We are our brother's keepers. What do you do when someone else sins? Tonight we're talking about our own breach of faith, right? But there are times when others breach their faith. What do we do when they've sinned, or we think they've sinned? How do we help? Because we are a community of faith. But tonight, we're talking specifically about ourselves. But this, look what happens with this breach of faith in 1 Chronicles 9:1. So all Israel was recorded in their genealogies. There was written in the book of the kings of Israel, and Judah was taken into exile because of their breach of faith. Now, what is this breach of faith? What did they do? Well, actually, it's the same kind of breach of faith. It just happened later to them. This breach of faith with Judah happens in with Babylon when they're carried away there. I think it's 501. And then with Assyria, it was happened earlier. They took away Israel already in 721 BC. But what is this breach of faith? Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 5 in verse 25. And I think it tells you what was going on with this group of people. What was their sin together? Why were they lose their nation? Why were they carried off as slaves into captivity? And now you have to say, could this be me? Is this something that I might do? 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 21. But they, talking about the northern kingdom, Israel, broke faith. That's the same thing as having a breach of faith. It's a synonym. They broke faith with God of their fathers and whored after other gods of the peoples of the land whom they had destroyed before them. They weren't happy because God hadn't provided what they wanted. God hadn't treated them the way they wanted. He hadn't fulfilled all of their wants and desires. And so they said, well, maybe if I worship Molech and give my first child or go over Chemosh or whatever other gods of the nations were, maybe he will give me what I want. Now, I don't think if I visited any of your houses or went to your bedroom, I'd find this little idol. Right? And we think, oh, that's those Old Testament. But the scripture always talks about something else. It talks about the idols of our hearts. Let's go back to the smaller catechism tonight, the one question we asked. Right? So turn it, open your hymnals, page 875. As you look at question 81, what is forbidden in the 10th commandment? The 10th commandment forbiddeth all discontent with our own estate. That means you're not happy. You're not happy with your parents. You're not happy with your children. You're not happy with your job. You're not happy with your church. You aren't getting what you want. You're not happy and no one's going to be happy. You want what they have. You're not happy with your marriage. You're not happy not being married. You're just not happy. You have to have something else. You're not going to be content. You're not going to be content with your good Father who has saved you through Jesus Christ and what he has given you right now. That's a break of faith. You're not happy what he's doing with your children. You're not happy what he's doing with, you put the blank in it. I'm not happy that my family's not like other families. I'm not happy that my school isn't like this school. I'm not happy that my health isn't like someone else's health. Where is it tonight that you're saying this very same thing? The 10th commandment forbiddeth all discontentment with our own estate. Think right now about your own heart and your own life. You start going whoring after the idols of this world to be happy. How do you know if something is an idol of your heart? When something you wish or want makes you sin to get it. When you say, I don't care what you say, God, you might not want this, but I'm going to do it. It's happened with a lot of women in marriages who may have been Christians, and they said, I just got to be connected to someone. I don't care if he's a non-Christian. But it happens in a lot of other circumstances of life. You know that something is breaking your faith when you sin to get it, or if you don't have it, you sin. Well, I don't have that car. We don't have that kind of house. We don't have emergency savings. I don't have this. I don't have that Xbox. I don't have that phone. What a bummer. And we go whoring after the gods of this world. That's a breach of faith, not trusting that your heavenly Father knows what you need and is best for you right now. It's serious stuff that people were captive and carried away. And maybe it will be that if you're not willing to bring these things to God, he'll carry you away a captive to them. The happiness that you think they're going to give you will enslave you. Well, let's go on, not just from the nation's breach of faith, but in individuals, King Saul. 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 13, and look at the seriousness of it here. So Saul dies for his breach of faith. He broke faith with the Lord, and that he did not keep the command of the Lord, and also consulted a medium seeking his guidance. The synonym here is a breach of faith, breaking faith. It's not trusting that your heavenly Father knows what you need and knows what's best for you. Saul didn't follow the commands of the Lord. He was called in the Coram to kill all the Amorites and all of their cattle. And Samuel the prophet comes back to him and he says, well, why didn't you kill the king? Well, I was holding him back because he was the king. And he says, well, why? And he says, I've obeyed all that God asked me. And he hears the bleating of the sheep in the background. He says, you didn't kill the sheep. He says, well, the people wanted them. He broke faith. He didn't follow God. Let me ask you, where are you breaking faith tonight? Where are the commands that you're choosing not to follow? Children, is it with your parents? Are you being sneaky with them? You know what they would want you to do, but you have little plans. Well, no, I'm not really rebellious, but I have this hidden away. And if they found out about this, I'd be in trouble. Or, husbands, do you have a stash of something away somewhere? Wives, are you not desirous of pleasing him? Not when he's a tyrant. You said, I don't care. It's all about me. What commands are you rebelling against? Where do you settle for the wisdom of the world? Well, I know the Bible says this, but my friends say this. My parents say this. Dr. Phil says this. Or whoever it is, Dr. Oz or the latest doctor. Used to be Dr. Spock. No, not Star Trek. It was with little kids when you were growing up. Oh, some doctor is always going to tell you something. But the Word of God says this. My friends say this. I want to do this. And when we choose to do what we want, we go whoring after the gods of the world and have a breach of faith. It happens with nations as we leave God, but it happens most particularly with individuals. It's serious. He was killed. God killed Saul because of the breach of faith. Have you started a list? Has God shown you some of your breaches of faith this evening, some of your breaks? I would like to tell you, it's a light thing. Ah, boys will be girls and girls. That's true today, isn't it? Boys will be boys and girls will be girls, right? Ah, what's it matter? God's just some Santa Claus up there. He just says, it's okay. It's not. God is serious about our faith and us living out our faith. There's consequences when we rebel against him. You think, oh, it doesn't matter. I'll just come back and confess next week. A nation taken to slavery. A king killed. Breaking faith. How do I know you should have a list? I have a list. The prophet to Judah during this time when they were taken into captivity was Ezekiel. And Ezekiel cried out. Let me tell you what Ezekiel said God was doing to stop so they wouldn't have to be carried away. God said this in Ezekiel 22, verses 30 and 31. God says, I sought for a man among them who should build up a wall and stand in the breach before me in the land. He was looking for someone because the people were weak to stand with them in the land. They no longer listened to their priests. They no longer listened to the prophets. They no longer listened to their princes, and they were all corrupt. God was looking for someone to stand in that breach when the people were weak and broken. You know what he was asking for? He was asking for someone like Moses. Do you remember what happened with Moses? Do you remember that what was Israel's great breach? Well, they had a lot, didn't they? What was the big one with after the Ten Commandments? Anybody remember? Yeah, what was the idolatry? The golden calf, right? You gotta love Moses' brother Aaron, right? He's just like us, right? He made the golden calf. He took the gold from everybody. But what did he say? God came to him. He says, I threw the golden fire and out came a calf. I threw it. He formed it. He did it, right? He's making excuses just like we do. And they would have all been destroyed except Moses stood in the gap. For their breach of faith, Moses did this. 106, I could read in Exodus or Deuteronomy what Moses did, but Psalm 106 sums it up this way. It says, therefore he, God, said he would destroy them. God was ready to destroy Israel for their breach of faith in the golden calf. They did a lot more than that. That was just the overall big thing they did, but they did much more. Therefore, he, God, said he would destroy Israel, had not Moses chose his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away from their destroying them. Do you remember what Moses did? He fell flat on his face for 40 days and 40 nights and prayed for them. Brothers and sisters, if I get the prayer list out two or three times a week, that is quite a week. And if I go through half of it, it's like, woohoo, I really prayed. That's not standing in a breach of faith. That's not making up the need. Moses was on his face 40 days and 40 nights and didn't eat, praying for the people that God wouldn't destroy him. And God listened. Oh, I don't know any Moses. I've had some people that actually told me they pray for me every day. I am just totally blown out over the years when those two or three people have told me that. I'm just like, oh my. Right? Have you ever had someone that tells you they pray for you every day? It's just mind-boggling to me. Well, I get pretty discouraged because I don't know Moses. Never had anybody that might pray for me every day, but not 40 days and 40 nights and don't eat. And when I look at Israel or Saul, I see myself. But beloved, thanks be to God, you and I have someone so much better than Moses. While we don't have Moses, we have a better prophet in Jesus, our Messiah, Lord and Savior, who always stands in the gap and fills the breach as he pleads his righteousness for us. Hebrews 7, turn there with me. You might mark this and go there this evening with your own breaches of faith if God has put a list there for you. And just confess them. Oh, God, I have a rough time believing you here. Oh, God, I act like I'm my own God here. I do what I want. Oh, God, break my heart. Show me my breach of faith. Show me my breaking of my faith. And then read Hebrews 7:25, talking about our high priest Jesus. Consequently, he, Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Oh my, is that good news? I think it is. Because if you have that list like I do tonight, and you know that you should be thrown into slavery or killed because of your breach of faith, there is not only hope, but a sure hope if you know and trust Christ. Run to him this evening. Rejoice that he pleads his righteousness and fills the gap that we leave, since he always lives to make intercession for us. Romans 8:34 says this: who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. He's filling the gap. We break the faith. We have breaches of faith. He's filling the gap with his righteousness and his prayers for us. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And I keep making more breaches, and he doesn't stop praying or saying, get out of here. I don't understand that. I would say it to you. But thank God I'm not your Savior. Oh my, you'd all be gone a long time ago. But we have a wonderful Savior, even Jesus our Lord. And in John 17, his great high priestly prayer, he at least prayed these things. In John 17:15, he prayed that we would be kept holy. John 17:17, that you would be sanctified, grow in holiness. John 17:25, that you would be glorified, perfected in holiness. There will be a day when we stand and see Jesus face to face, where there'll be no more breaches of faith or breaking of our faith. But until then, our faith in Jesus is what makes us strong. Let us run to him even this evening and rejoice in our perfect Savior. Amen. Amen. Our Father in God, we come to you as one who have faith, but we need to say with the saints before us, O God, increase our faith. We find ourselves envious of our neighbors and not satisfied with our estate, complaining and being children who turn our backs from you at times and think we know a better way. And we thank you that the way is to come back to your throne, that we might come before you and you would plead, as you always do, your shed blood for the saints, that we might go from having filthy robes to robes of righteousness through the work and the prayers of our Savior, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.